Well, it's my honor and privilege to be with you again. It's always a delight. I want to tell you something that you already know, but I enjoy telling you. And you got some of the prettiest singing voices I've ever heard. It is truly edifying to be here when you sing. You have beautiful voices, and you have a heart that evidently goes along with the voices. But that is something to be treasured, I think, in a congregation that really makes melody in their heart unto the Lord. And your singing is so inspiring, so edifying. And I think that's wonderful that you have it. You know, I'm not pushing up buttons. That's fine. I need to rest for a moment anyway. In our class this morning, just in case you were not here, we have as our theme from Matthew the 10th chapter, verse 39, where Jesus says, "He that findeth himself shall lose himself. He that loses himself for my sake shall find himself." We discuss how we're living in a world that has never found their origin, how that they have never discovered how that God made them and is wanting to use them and the purpose for their being here. They were sent by God to do a certain work, and men have often never found that. They often live their lives, so sadly we say, never really knowing themselves. Have you ever heard someone make that statement that after they experience somewhat of life, they say, "You know, I don't think I ever knew myself." And it could be different reasons for that. But the point being, that is true of a lot of people. They have never found out how wonderful their creation is if they live for Christ. If they see themselves as having come from God with a purpose put in them from God to accomplish a work to finish. You know, Jesus gave the example. "I came to do the work of him that sent me. I must work while it is day." He gave a beautiful example there what life is all about. God's put us here on this earth for a purpose. And that is what we want to talk about in our second part of this series we're having. Tonight we'll talk about our destiny. But for the moment, after establishing this morning already that we came from God, now we wish to talk about our purpose for living. Sometimes, you know, as I've already said, we just never really discover all of what we're all about. Men often get so involved in their own selfish pride, you know, their own selfish pursuits, they just lose account of who they really are. They're giving themselves over to causes, to a way of life, to things they want to do, and they're missing all of what it's about, and they don't even realize it. I can't help but think of the words of Jesus in Luke 12, verse 15, when he says, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of his possessions." Beware of covetousness, he says. And yet a lot of people think that's what life is all about, things. I got to have more and more things. And Jesus is all along saying, that's not what life is about. You've got another purpose in life. Oh, sure, we get to enjoy some things in life, but that's not our chief goal. That is not what we go after day by day, but a lot of people do make that their God. And so we want to talk a little bit about what our real purpose in life. I got right tickled the other day, and I use this humorously. Part of it's the truth, though. I was in Belt's department store with my wife, and we were there to get a little gift, and as we were looking, I kind of walked ahead a little bit and stood over here a few feet from her. And I happened to see myself in the mirror. I said, "Well, I ain't too bad, maybe." And And then about that time, there came a woman along, walking along. She's talking to her cell phone, that's really happy, you know, whatever. And then suddenly she hangs up their phone, and she does, she, like that. And then she says, "Oh, I'm sorry." She says, "I thought you were a mannequin." So I told her, I said, "Well, I almost told her, I said, I'm going to use that in the pulpit," but I didn't get a chance to talk with her more. But there I just decided, you know, I thought, well, maybe I'm not too bad off. And then all of a sudden someone tells me I'm a mannequin. And she really was startled. She jumped back and thought that, and then she got tickled, you know, said, "I thought you were a mannequin." But anyway, I can use that in this sense. We really need to know who we really are. And we really need to find ourselves, as Jesus points out here in Matthew 10, verse 39. Think about it. Isn't that what life is all about? Finding out who we are, why we're here, what are we to be doing. Let's make sure we do it. Let's finish the work He gave us to do while it's day. That's all that counts. We're going to soon leave this old earth. And what we will face over in the next world is what will be determined by what we do here. And Paul tells us to redeem the time, you know, get busy, you know. And over the scriptures tell us to use our time wisely. And that means finding out who we are, what we're to be doing, and why we're to do it. And that's what I want us to do in the very brief few moments I have left now today. Our Lord then has shown us from a lesson this morning where we came from, a beautiful, loving, great, holy, perfect Heavenly Father, all power, all authority, and He loves us and cherishes us. He looks upon us as His children, wants us to talk to Him as our Father. Now that we have established our creation, let's get on now to the point of the purpose for which we are living. You know, there has to be a purpose in living, or people are very miserable. We all feel the need for a purpose of some kind. Whether we recognize it or not, it's there. And for those who serve the wrong purposes, they end up much in the same condition that those who have never found their purpose, because the wrong purpose can bring about so many awful things in life. So our Lord has told us. Well, let's see what some of the things He has told us. Would you turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 16, and listen to Him speak to us. We find there that we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, our purpose for living, dear ones, every day that we live, is to glorify our Father. Now, we need to really, really think about that. That's just not something, oh, yeah, I know our life in general should be that way. But no, we need to be thinking about specifically every day. Am I using this day for God's glory? I think every person that's a Christian, before they let their feet hit the floor every morning, should say a short prayer to God. God, this is a day you have given me. Please let me most of all glorify your name. Please let me do something that will glorify your name. Make that our course, our reason, our purpose for living that day. Everything else will fall in place with that. But have in mind is one thing I want to do today. I want to do something to glorify my God. We can look at the whole day as glorifying Him as we serve Him. But we can even be specific about it and say, God, let me do something special today to glorify your name. You know, I find that when we pray that prayer, every day something can happen. It really can, in which we can glorify our Father. There's a lot to be said on all these. They're every one a subject matter in themselves. Another purpose that we have for living can be found over in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and rather verse, first chapter, in verse 2, the Apostle Paul there is going to tell us what Christianity, or why we are who we are, the whole purpose. Notice there, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Did you notice there that we're sanctified and we're called to be saints? What does that mean? Both of those words carry with an idea. That is, we, now get this, now get the honor of this now. Don't just look at it and say, oh yes, it means we're to be saints, to be good. Those words carry with the idea that we're set apart. Now, that's powerful. When you are given a position in life, let's say at your work, and someone says to you, now look, you're set apart to carry this out. We're depending on this company. It depends upon you doing this in order for us to survive and for everybody to keep their jobs. You're set apart for this particular mission. Now, you can carry that into all kinds of situations where people are set apart for things. And it makes them realize their responsibility. It also lets them see the honor bestowed upon them, that people are depending upon them. And on you can go. The point I want to get across here, God has set you personally apart for His work. Think of that honor, would you? God's got something specifically in mind for you to do as a Christian. He's got a lot of generalities, yes, that we all have to do during the course of the day. But you know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians about us having different talents, and we put them all together. We're workers together with Him, Paul tells us. Now, the point being, just like in this congregation, and you know, there are scriptures to cover this. You all have different talents. Now, you all are working together. You all have to be faithful together. But we all have particular talents. For instance, I cannot lead singing very well. But boy, some of you, the one leading the singing today has such a beautiful voice, doesn't he? And I know some others of you do here in this congregation. In fact, all of you sounded like have a beautiful voice. But the point I'm trying to bring home, there are going to be some can lead singing. There are going to be some that can do other chores particularly. Doesn't mean that, for instance, even in an emergency, I might have to come lead singing. But, you know, the point I'm making is that we all have specific talents that we blend together. And look here, as you have a person come before you, it's like taking singing as an example. You have someone come before you that knows how to lead songs beautifully as today. And then you have in the congregation all these other beautiful voices that can follow that. Look what blending together produces. Great praise to God. Great edification to the ears of the saints. Now you can use that in a many, many other ways in the work we do in the church. The whole point is we are set apart though to do a work, to save souls, to glorify God, to be benevolent, on and on the list goes. We're set apart for a work, and we need to be sure we're doing it. We also need to recognize that we have specific talents that we've been set apart to do, and make sure we examine those, because someday when we stand before the judgment, we're going to be judged as where we did the work, and we're going to be judged as where we used our talents or not. And you, of course, know the Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. It's very important for us to study our purpose, to study how we can serve it, to see where we qualify particularly in things, and to use that. Now think about that. That's a mindset that's beautiful. Wouldn't the church be a lot stronger if every Christian was like that? Now, I could talk on each one of these, make a whole lesson out of them, so I'm going to move on, try to control myself here. Next of all, I want you to notice our purpose is to press on to the high calling of God. I love that expression, don't you? And perhaps you'd like to turn with me to Philippians, the 3rd chapter. And let's read there how that Paul expresses this in the epistle to the Philippians. There in that 14th verse of the 3rd chapter of Philippians, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that's the way Paul described this. We have, first of all, a very high calling. Our purpose in life is to recognize I have a high calling. A lot of people walk around feeling like they're not worth anything. But if they're truly, humbly serving Jesus, they're going to see that Christ can use them. He has a high calling for every one of us. It's to glorify our Father, to save mankind, and on the list goes. You know, we could talk about that. But anyway, we need to recognize ourselves in life as having a high calling. That's one of our purposes, is to have a high calling of our Heavenly Father. Now notice there that this high calling, of course, is something we press towards the mark. What is my purpose in life? First, to receive the high calling, and then to learn all about it that I can. And it means pressing. That word carries with it an idea that it's hard work. But aren't we always more grateful for the things we accomplish after hard work, diligent work? And so Paul says here, as Christians, you've got a purpose, and you've got to work hard at it, and you'll rejoice that you did. I must press forward. See, a lot of people take the high calling of Christ. Oh, yes, I recognize it. And then they nonchalantly live their lives. Like the even the light out of sins, they're lukewarm. But what we need to do is get serious over our calling, our high calling, and press on in it. Develop it. Work at it. Study. Meditate upon it. Develop it. That's what we're to be doing for our Christian lives. We are to be growing all the time as Christians. And we're going to cover that just a little more too. But anyway, that's another purpose. Have the mental development going on of, I've got to keep growing, developing. I've got to get the job done. I've got to keep studying. I've got to keep making examinations of myself. I've got to make my reports, you know, so as we say on the job. Am I fulfilling what I've been sent here for? That's a mindset that a Christian must keep in mind. And then we also find something very beautifully said over in Ephesians, the second chapter. I would like for you to turn there and look at verse 10. We find there that our purpose is to be a creation of good works. Now this goes along somewhat with what we've already said. I just want to hit it from another angle for a moment though. For we're all His workmanship, it says in 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now look there at your purpose, my purpose. First of all, we are God's workmanship. Think about that, folks. God made you the way He made, the way you're made, for a purpose. He's got plans for you. You were developed by God. Think about that. See, we get away from self and we think, but God has made me. I belong to Him. He's got plans for me. What greater calling do you want? Why would man want to say, no, I'd rather go in the world and do my thing, when here's the great God who has all power and authority, all knowledge, will help in every way, can do everything, anything we need done and for that is right? Why would anybody want to walk away from that? Would you think much of a person who had two jobs offered to him? And one job is that he just really never accomplished much, never made much. He just kind of got by. But then there was another job in which he would have some responsibility. He would make good money. He would have a good position. He accomplishes much. He can do some things even he wants to do. If he chose the other job over here, wouldn't you say, what is wrong with that guy? But you know, a lot of people doing that in life, God has made them, He's got plans for them, and they turn their back on the Supreme One who has all power and all authority to do whatever He wishes with us. All things are possible through Christ, Paul wrote. Imagine what we can accomplish then. We're His workmanship. That's beautiful, isn't it? God's workmanship. You are God, the greatest of all. God, you're His workmanship. He has put more emphasis on you than anything else. And then you read on here, created in Christ unto good works. When we were baptized into our Lord, we became a new creation. And we were created in Christ. My, to walk in Him, to do His will, what a life that is. And notice good works follow it. It's always good when we do Jesus' will, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, I think what this means here, that somehow or another, we go way back before we were born. You have a heritage that is richer maybe than you think about. You were in the mind of God before you ever set foot on this earth. God had you in His mind and His plans. Doesn't that overwhelm us? Doesn't that make us think, you know, I need to be doing what, if all that much planning has been put in me, I need to be doing what God wants me to do, not what I want to do. And of course, what God wants is what's best for us. You know, the Apostle Paul also spoke something similar to this over in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And you may wish to take just a moment there and turn and read that beautiful thought that is expressed there. Notice verse 9 says, "Who hath saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Does that emphasize to you what I said a moment ago about the great plans God's got for you, how great you are in His sight, how important you are? How many people are neglecting that great calling that even goes long before we were born? My, isn't that overwhelming, dear ones? Don't we have so much to walk around with joy in our hearts over? Called according to His purpose, not our works, His purpose. I'm sorry, I wish I had better language of powers to express the greatness of this, but maybe you do and you can build on it. It is so beautiful. Then may I pass on to another thought also. And it is our purpose now to be cross bearers. Now over in Matthew, the 10th chapter, you have Jesus talking about this. You also have it in the 16th chapter, but let's just read one for time's sake. In verse 18 of this 10th chapter, "And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles." And then he reads on and talks about there, of course, the troubles that they will have, but he would be with them. And he even goes down in verse 21 there, talks how bad it can get. "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. The children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now, in all of this that you're reading here, you can see so much how that we can have to bear some crosses. And then, of course, over in Matthew 16, Jesus tells us again that we'll have to bear crosses in this life. But you know, it's always such a beautiful reward afterward we have done so. And you know, we're always so rejoicing. It's amazing to read in the Bible of those who bore crosses and how they spoke immediately after of their rejoicing. Our purpose is to bear a cross. Most people run from such. But when I bear the cross, I'm really finding my greatest joy. When the cross, or even during the bearing of it, but when it's all over particularly, and you look back and see what you did for your Lord, the love you expressed, how He brought you through it, and knowing that before the great judgment bar, He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord." You're going to see then it was well worth it. My God deserved it. He's done all for us. we should do all for Him. He gave His Son. When Jesus was on the cross, He made a statement, "My Father, why hast Thou forsaken me?" That passage, I've spent a lifetime studying, and I'm not sure I have all the answers for it. I think sometimes that there's a possibility that the heart of our Father, watching His Son go through what He did, He had to turn His face away. He couldn't look. I don't know that I'm right, but I wonder if that isn't what happened there. It's not to be mean to be a criticism from the Lord. Jesus would never criticize His God, His Father. There must be something there in which either Jesus has felt forsaken because He had the sins of the world upon Him. Maybe that's the answer. But I've often wondered too if the loving Heavenly Father just gave all He could give in Jesus and just had to turn His face as He let His Son die on the cross. How that should make us want to fall before His throne with tears in our eyes and praise of joy that God has loved us so much. And then by the same token, count it a joy when we bear a cross for He who has borne all things. Then we also notice too very quickly that our purpose is to show Christ to the world. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Philippians again for just a moment and see the beauty there of how Paul expressed this beautiful service of showing Christ to the world. Philippians is a letter that is written with so much, well, all the books are, of course, but it has so much of the feelings of Christianity, deep feelings of Christianity expressed in it. And I'd like for you to go with me to begin with Philippians 2, verses 13 and 14. "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure." Think of that honor. What is your purpose? To let God do His pleasure through you. You ever been honored by someone who says, "You know, I just love to be around you. You bring me so much pleasure." Really, it makes us feel great, doesn't it? How about the Heavenly Father? The Heavenly Father saying, "My pleasure is to work through you." That overwhelms me. God, who has all power and authority, finds pleasure in working through us. Dwell on that some, would you? And then look at another verse, if you will. "Do all things without murmuring and disputing," it says. Now, as you look here at this particular passage in, we find indeed that our purpose is to show Christ to the world because He's our purpose to use us. We want to certainly show Him to the world. I'd like for you also to look at the first chapter of Philippians, verses 20 and 21. "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Does that not express it as well as you can express it, our purpose? What does He say there? "With all boldness, always, I want to magnify Christ. I want to continue and make Christ evident. I want to continue, as we would say, blow Him up before the world. That is, make the picture big. Make it very plain. Make it sure that people see what I do is because of my Lord. Not my self-glory, not anything else. It is for my Lord I'm doing what I do." That is our purpose in life. Jesus lived that here. He kept saying over and over in His life, "I came to do the will of my Father. I came to glorify my Father." He was going to die on the cross. He was going to save us from our sins. Of course, God too. But his purpose, with all that, and with all the multitudes following him, all he kept emphasizing over and over, I want to glorify my Father in heaven. There's some deep things there we need to meditate upon. And that is our purpose in life, to glorify our Heavenly Father. One other thing, and I'll hush. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 4. Here is your purpose, my purpose, for living on this earth also. Wherefore are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Our purpose is to develop a divine nature. You ever heard people say, oh, that's just my nature, when they've done something, maybe even wrong? We as Christians, everything we do, we can say, that's just my nature, my divine nature. I got it by having the mind of Christ put in me, that Paul said I should develop. I got it because God has instilled into me the Holy Spirit to do his work. God has given me his instructions. Jesus says, I'll never leave you. I'll always be with you to help you carry it out. And so as I look where I came from, as I look at my purpose, then we all have to say we have a divine nature. Our nature is to be like God. You remember in the very beginning what it said? Let us make man in our image after our likeness. From the very beginning of the Bible to the very end of the Bible, that's what it's all about. Developing that divine nature that God has put in us. Yes, as we discussed in Bible class, we go back to the dust of the ground, the physical body, but the spiritual body lives on. I like the way Paul expressed it. Though the outward man perish day by day, the inward man is renewed day by day, because we have a divine nature. The old physical body grows old. The old physical body soon deteriorates and goes. But the inward man, the true person, lives on and on and on. You know, as I kiddingly was talking about there at the beginning of the lesson, I can feel my age coming on. I have a terrible problem. You know what it is? I still think I'm 21 in my mind. I still think up here young thoughts in a lot of ways. I still like to do things. I love to see the magnificent will of God carried out. It just thrills me in a day. It cheers me up when I'm able to do something spiritually that glorifies my Father. Oh, I get excited, as you do. You know what that is? That's the renewal going on that God puts in us as we go after his nature. We can stay young. I have some friends of mine who are in their 90s. I've had some who are over 100. I have one lady who funeral I had on her 110th birthday. Buried her on her birthday, 110 years old. I baptized one lady at 117 years old. You know what she did after her baptism? She went up those steps and said, oh, just really praising God, you know. So excited, 117 years old. Now, you know what all that is? That's the inside person. These people who, this 97-year-old just the other day, gave me some art pictures. She's already half blind. But when you talk to her, her mind is alert. She still talks about youthful things. And yet she's 97, almost 98 years old. But she's still very active. Even though her body is wearing out, her mind is still young. Now, I've said all that to illustrate that we as Christians are renewed day by day when we're following Christ. When our purpose is to live for him, we stay young inside. The old body may be deteriorating, But the real me, the real you, is stays young. Well, that is a lesson then, and that's our purpose for living, you see. And I wish in some ways it had been a class discussion. I could have gained all the wisdom you have to say on all this. But I do want to close out then by us being reminded of what Paul said over in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And then the invitation of the Lord is going to be extended based upon what I'm going to read you now. And I want you to think about how beautiful, how wonderful this is that Paul has to express. But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed into that same image from glory to glory. When I serve the purpose Christ gives me, you serve it, we find that we're going from one level of glory to another in His image. Would you come, if you're subject to the gospel invitation, and be baptized into your Lord, or if you feel the need to be restored, would you come while we stand and while we sing? Oh.